This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
We're so very glad that you are here with us today. Thank you for joining us for this service of worship for Almighty God. Our gospel lesson, our scripture lesson this morning, comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Normally, our gospel lessons this year are from the Gospel of Luke. Remember, we have a three-year cycle of readings, the three-year lectionary. One year it's Matthew, one year it's Mark, the third year it's Luke. But then we have John, and so John gets sort of sliced up and inserted here and there. And so that's why this week we're in John rather than in Luke. Let me take just a moment here and get kind of geeky and nerdy, if you will. And those of you who really like that, I invite you to rejoice with me in it. I think it's fascinating. As we remember, the earliest of the Gospels is Mark's Gospel. It's not written until the 60s A.D., so it's at least 30-something years after Jesus was crucified that the first Gospel got written down. And so until then, Gospels, the stories of Jesus, are only in oral tradition. They're the family stories that get passed down from generation to generation. The book of John is most probably the last of the Gospels to be written, and it gets written sometime in the early 90s A.D. So again, a full 60 years or so after Jesus is crucified. Today is the story of Mary anointing Jesus' feet with oil, with perfume, and then wiping them with her hair. And this presents some problems. Normally, if you are anointing someone, if you are anointing them to be a king, or simply because it's a nice thing to do, and people would do that as a gesture of friendship and respect to each other, that is, put perfume on their hair. Remember, these guys don't bathe a whole lot, right? They don't have soap that is easily made. So there's a lot of perfume gets put on the hair. That's what you do for a living person. You would only ever anoint the feet of someone if they were dead, if you were preparing them for burial. Okay? The idea here that John wants us to get is that Jesus is going to die and that Mary is preparing his body for burial. Now, there's another passage in Luke where a woman weeps over Jesus' feet and dries his feet with her hair. This is absolutely unique in the literature of the day. The smart people who study these things have read all the Greek fiction, all the Greek nonfiction for this time period, all that we have. It is only in Luke and John that you find people having their feet wiped by somebody else's hair. So this clearly is a standout event. This is not a run-of-the-mill, normal type of thing. So what we probably have is two different stories, one about an anointing and the other about drying Jesus' feet with a woman's hair that John has conflated together to give us Mary anointing Jesus for his funeral, anointing Jesus for his burial. Let's remember Mary and Martha, the one where Martha serves. That's in Luke's gospel. Let's not confuse that with the Martha that we meet in this gospel. In John's gospel, we meet Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And in fact, in the preceding chapter, chapter 11, Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, that explanation is longer than the sermon itself. Let us turn now to the Word of God as it comes to us in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead, which again we just saw in chapter 11. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" A denarius is a standard day's wage for a common laborer. 300 denarii, 365 days in a year. 52 of those days are Sabbath days. You don't work on them. This is a year's pay for an average working person. Why was this not sold and this year's pay worth of money given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." My beloved, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward, or you can stay right in your pew, but if you'd like to come forward, sit in the first pew for me. I brought somebody with me today. Anybody know who this might be? Who do you think? It is. It's my Jesus puppet. Oh, he's got a little hair problem here. Good morning. Well, he usually stays in my office, and I thought he needs to come to church too, right? Because he's already here, really. But so I have up on the screen today a present. Who here likes to get presents? I like to get presents too. Who likes to give presents? Yeah. Have you ever made a present to give to someone? I think sometimes that's more exciting than getting a present, isn't it? It is. We get excited about giving those presents. Well, we had today in the story that Pastor just read, we have two people that gave gifts. You know what the first gift was? Martha made dinner. Did you ever think about that as a gift? Yeah. I like to do that as a gift for people when they come to my house. I like to make maybe their special something that they really like and give that to them. That's kind of a fun thing. And then Mary gave a gift, and Mary's gift was pretty fun. I like things that smell good. Do you like things that smell good? Like lotions and candles and all those things. Well, that's what she gave. And what happened? Judas started mocking her. Said, "Well, you know, that's not the best gift you could have given. You could have done better things with that." How do you think that made Mary feel, maybe? What do you think, Evie? Kind of sad or kind of upset. Like her gift wasn't important, was it? Yeah, but it really was. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus said, "You know, I know. You don't know about how much love that was given for this. I know that all Mary gave was the most loving thing to me." And he knew. He knew it was important. And he knew that she loved him. And that's pretty important. And you know what? That reminds me. Sometimes we don't know that our gifts that we have to offer God are that important. We think maybe we don't have something that's really special enough. But God knows that when we open up our heart and give with all our love, those gifts are pretty special. So I wanted to show you, this is one of the gifts I got from one of my friends at church. And I woke up this morning, I was on my computer, and I kept it right next to my computer here at church for the longest time, and then COVID hit, and I really missed it. I put my drink on it all the time. And so during COVID, I took it home, and I put it next to my computer at home. And every time I put my drink on it, I think of the little girl that made that for me. And that's pretty special, isn't it? So this time of Lent is a time when we think about the gifts that God has given us, especially on Easter, the most important gift that we've ever gotten, right? So I want you to think all during this time of worship today, and you can let me know after worship, what's a gift that you could give to God before this next Easter? Okay, so think about that. In the worship folder, there's a little something you could draw a picture on that too. Okay, well, let's take some time and let's say a little prayer. Are you ready? Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the love that you give to us each and every day. We know that sometimes we feel we don't have those gifts that we can give, but you know that we do. Help us to share the gifts with everyone that we meet. Help us to share that love. We pray that you will be with us as we do that this week. And all God's children said, Amen.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, children, for being a part of that. So tell me if you do this. Okay? Tell me if this is normal for you. Does your family tell family stories? Yeah. After a big family meal of some kind, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins are all gathered around, and after the meal, we push our chairs back a little bit. We may adjust our belts just a little bit. And then we start swapping family stories, don't we? We start sharing the family stories. Of course, this is what families do. If you are a moderately functional family, you tell family stories. But why do we do that? Well, it's kind of fun, you know? It gives us a chance to bond, to remember the family heritage. That's good. But another reason we tell family stories is because those stories tell us who we are. Those stories tell us what it is to be a member of our family, what is expected of members of our family, how we are supposed to live given the family that we come from. In my family, we tell the story of my grandfather, who, when he was young, wanted to leave his small little hometown and go to the big city and be a businessman. Now, his granddaddy's greatest desire when he was a young man was to leave his little town and go off and seek his fortune, if you will. But he was never able to do that. He had to stay in his hometown because that was where the family needed him to be. He was the only one who could bring the sense of stability and security that the extended family needed at that time. And so he stayed. And he was very successful, you know, did well in a variety of ways, but he never left that town, because that was where the larger family needed him to be. And that is a message to people in my generation and beyond. Now, today, we have one of our family stories, right? And it's an important story, and so we tell it often. And I'm sure that there are a lot of details that are missing, a lot of things that we have forgotten. What did Martha cook? Yeah. What did she serve anyway How many people were there? Was it just Jesus and the gang and the Lazarus family? Was it half the village? We don't know. Was Judas the only one who thought this was a really bad idea? Was Judas the only one who said, man, this is a waste of money? Did anyone jump up and say, oh, Mary, not your hair. Let me get a towel. Did anybody say that? We don't know, do we? The text doesn't say. But what is very clear is Mary is making a point. Mary is making a point. Mary is deliberately telling Jesus something about the nature of her relationship to him. Mary is telling Jesus how much she loves him. She is telling Jesus the depth of her commitment to him. And she's not just telling Jesus, is she? She's telling everybody. Everybody sees this. This is not a secret. It's not being done in a side room somewhere, just the two of them. Everybody sees what Mary is doing. And so Mary is making a statement. She is making a statement to Jesus and to everyone about the nature of her relationship with Jesus. So what does she say? Well, she starts off with perfume. And let me just ask, how many of us have, I don't know, $50,000, $60,000 worth of perfume tucked away in a closet? Does anybody? No, of course not. Nobody does this. This is outlandish. This is outlandish beyond outlandish. This is extravagance beyond extravagance. And that's the point, is that Mary's relationship with Jesus is extravagant beyond extravagance. The depth of Mary's love for Jesus is beyond extravagance. The depth of Mary's commitment to Jesus is beyond extravagant. Mary's relationship with Jesus is everything she has. Her commitment to Jesus is everything she has. And then, when we think she can't go any further, she wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. Again, Mary is making a point. Her relationship with Jesus is not just financial. Her commitment to Jesus is not just with what she has. Her commitment to Jesus is body and soul. Mary loves Jesus with her entire being, her whole self. And this is what Judas misses, right? This is what Judas doesn't see, because Judas is fixated on the money. He can't see beyond that. But if Judas were able to look beyond the money and see the woman wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, then Judas would see an example of someone whose total commitment is to Jesus. Mary's love for Jesus is with everything she has and everything she is. Mary's commitment to Jesus is everything she has and everything she is. Now, how would we express that? If the opportunity came up sometime that we were invited to make a statement to Jesus that everyone could see. One, are we as committed to Jesus as Mary is? But two, how would we show that? How would we demonstrate the depth of our love and commitment to Jesus? Well, we couldn't do it with perfume and hair, could we? I mean, that's a one-off. That's a one and done. It's not going to happen again. Mary did a mic drop, whoop, and walked off. Not going to do it that way anymore. And you know, we may never need to. It may be okay. We may never be called upon to make that kind of public statement. But if we are, will we remember this family story and draw inspiration from it? You heard me just a minute ago talk about my grandfather, who, even though he wanted to leave his little hometown, he stayed there because that was where people needed him to be. Now, obviously, I am not my grandfather. I left my small hometown, and I have been free to go out and seek my fortune in the world, if you will. But there have been times when my aspirations had to be put aside. There were times when my own hopes and dreams for the future had to be put on the shelf because somebody needed me somewhere else. And at those times, I have remembered that story about Granddaddy. And I have tried to draw inspiration from his example. If we are ever in the position of needing to make a public statement about the depth of our love, the depth of our commitment to Jesus, friends, let us remember this story and let us draw inspiration from Mary's example.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.